Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Trustees vote to end Ector contract. OA News at OAOA.com. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees voted not to renew its contract with the Ector Success Academy Network. The vote at Tuesday's meeting was 6-1, with Trustee Carol Gregg dissenting. Minyard made the motion not to renew, with Trustee Steve Brown seconding. Assistant Superintendent of Student and School Support, Alicia Saverson, said reasons under board policy for not renewing the contract are failure to meet student performance standards or other obligations, failure to meet generally accepted accounting standards for fiscal management, violation of any provision of the contract or applicable state or federal law, and other reason as determined by the board. Senate Bill 1882, signed into law by the Texas Legislature in 2017, provides incentives for districts to contract to partner with an open enrollment charter school, institutions of higher education, nonprofits, or government entities, the Texas Education Agency website says. Ector was in its fifth year of improvement required under state accountability standards. If it didn't come off the list, it could have faced closure, or the Texas Education Commissioner could appoint a board of managers over the whole district. ECISD partnered with CEO/Superintendent Robert Blash's Ector Success Academy Network as a way to stay sanctions from the Texas Education Agency for 2 years. Saverson reviewed a variety of reasons why the campus had not met contract requirements. The contract expires June 30, 2021. Gregg said she has concerns about the students at Ector, the timing, and the fact that we're going to leave them out there hanging until we decide what to do. That concerns me greatly, Gregg said. She added that the district didn't address the issues and problems as soon as they should have. I am personally impressed with academic advances made at Ector. I have concerns that we will be able to accomplish as much as Ector on the academic side. I just really feel badly for the students at Ector and the families and staff. It is my understanding that if we terminate this contract, we still have to find a partner in order to avoid TEA sanctions, Gregg said. Superintendent Scott Murray said there is a provision in code that allows the commissioner to grant a school district an additional 2-year pause, but the commissioner must approve the organization with whom ECISD would partner. In the fall, ECISD conducted a call for quality schools and solicited for any partner or charter organization that would be interested in working with ECISD on any D or F campus the district has. Bonham was previously mentioned as a possibility. I can assure you that we will not leave those kids at Ector Middle School hanging. Tomorrow, one of the first things I'll do is reach out to these two providers, Murray said. Gregg said this is a dire situation. I do have grave concerns. I'm concerned about failures on the financial front. I do understand the seriousness of those. As far as the students are concerned and the families there, I feel it's a betrayal, said Gregg, who attended the meeting virtually. Murray said ECISD still has a contract with ESAN through June 30th and is planning for a smooth transition from one provider to another. We've got to keep it as calm as possible for those kids, Murray said. Board Vice President Tammy Hawkins said the district needs to listen to teachers and the community. Trustee Nelson Minyard said he thought progress was being made with the programs in place at Ector, and some of the programs were good. He would like to have someone take over that in the same vein. Murray said the proposed provider will come to a board meeting in February, with the contract coming back in March. Minyard said he would like to have it in the contract that a board member be on the charter school's board, or maybe just an observer. We can explore that possibility, Murray said. Mike Atkins, the attorney for the district, agreed. We can look at it, he said. Board President Delma Abalos said there are many people that are going to be upset. Some may not be, she said. She noted that no one was at the meeting to speak on behalf of Hector Tuesday. I'm with Carol. They were making strides. We'll never know if it would have gotten a lot better if it hadn't been for COVID, Abalos said. She added that the financial aspect concerns her. I hope that whoever we get understands that we were in a rush when we went in with ESAN, Abalos said. She added that the district will have more time this time. Just so they know we're keeping an eye on them, Abalos said. In other business, the board heard opening remarks by Murray talking about the recently completed student survey on school connectedness. The board recap said school connectedness is defined as the belief adults and peers care about their learning and about them as individuals. If students feel connected, they will perform better academically. This fall, 59% of students in grades 3 through 12 said they feel connected. 61% is the national average in a pre-COVID atmosphere. ECISD's goal is to be at the national average next spring and at 63% by 2024. The survey covers five areas: sense of belonging, school climate, rigorous expectations, school engagement, and supportive relationships. Overall, the highest rated area is supportive relationships, with 72% positive responses. The lowest area is school engagement at 45% positive responses. Schools are developing action plans to address issues revealed through this survey, and kids will take the same survey again in April. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve the election order and notice for May 1, 2021. Four spots are up for election this spring. Position 2, Delma Abalos. Position 4, Chris Stanley. Position 5, Dr. Steve Brown. And position 7, Nelson Minyard. All four incumbents have filed to run for re-election. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve the Odessa YMCA as an innovation partner to help provide 3-year-old pre-kindergarten next year. With kindergarten readiness being one of the primary tenets of ECISD's strategic plan, this partnership with the Y will help the district expand its pre-kindergarten program to up to 1,000 3-year-olds beginning August 2021. The Y currently serves children 6 weeks old to 12 years old at its existing three locations. It plans to utilize its new building on Pagewood as the site for 153 3-year-olds with potential for expansion. The Y has a whole child educational plan and academic model designed for literacy development and logical math discovery that lead to kindergarten readiness. Trustees also heard the annual performance report. School districts are required to hold a public hearing to discuss their annual report, which includes academic performance data, accreditation status, campus performance objectives, information on violent or criminal incidents, and performance of the previous year's graduates in their first year of college, as reported by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. Much of the academic information on this year's report remains the same as last year's report due to the fact all state assessments were suspended last spring due to the COVID-19 school closures. This presentation will be available on the ECISD Accountability Department website the day after this meeting. On the net, HectorCountyISD.org. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, January 21st, 2021. Opinion. Texas View. Texas made it harder to get vaccinated through poor planning execution. The Point, Local health authorities and other providers could learn from one another with better state coordination. Rolling out the COVID-19 vaccine is neither for the faint of heart nor the poorly organized. Local public health authorities, hospitals, and other providers have had to figure out where to store the vaccine, how to sign up people, how to alert them about their place in line, how to set up vaccination sites that prevent contagion, and how to manage long outdoor lines dotted with seniors and disabled residents. The great hurdle is the fact that there is not enough vaccine to go around at this moment, not even for vulnerable populations eligible to receive it now, let alone the public at large. Civic leaders carrying out the daunting task of immunizing the masses against an airborne pathogen are inevitably going to stumble. But the lack of robust state guidance and the poor messaging at all levels are making this operation more challenging than it should be. Texas state officials complicated matters in late December when, worried that there was excess vaccine inventory, they abruptly announced that people older than 65 and Texans with certain medical conditions could receive the vaccine. Providers still working on vaccinating frontline healthcare workers had to pivot fast. This brought logistical nightmares. For instance, a Tarrant County site set up to vaccinate healthcare workers was suddenly inundated with people without appointments as word spread about the location. Adding to the confusion is the patchwork vaccine distribution system. Local health authorities have their own registration portals and protocols, as do hospitals and others providing the vaccine. All of these entities are also making choices about whom to prioritize within the state-mandated priority groups. This is turning vaccine registration into a guessing game for Texans. Public messaging often focuses on online registration. Dallas County does not currently have a hotline for people to register, though Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins said one is in the works. In the meantime, he urges residents without internet service to solicit help from a loved one or to visit a public library to access a computer. Still, people calling provider hotlines may find them clogged for hours, and seniors and families without a computer or internet access cannot just Google a phone number. That said, some providers are finding ingenious solutions to problems. Houston's Memorial Hermann Health System sent a vaccine registration link to qualified patients, who then shared it with relatives and social media followers, prompting ineligible people to claim appointments. A hospital official told the Texas Tribune that it stopped that by issuing a link that couldn't be forwarded. That fix may have helped Dallas County last week when a similar snafu caused its Fair Park Mega Center to become overbooked. State officials are wise to prioritize mega centers that can streamline immunization, but they must take a more aggressive approach in assessing best practices and sharing those with providers across the state. We look to Governor Greg Abbott to push federal officials for more resources as necessary. We also urge local officials to think outside their websites to reach underserved Texans. The ease with which you get a vaccine shouldn't hinge on your tech or your address. Dallas Morning News. Biden's first move strikes at the heart of American energy and jobs. By Congressman August Pfluger, representative for the 11th District of Texas. President Biden is set to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline as one of his first acts in office. He will do so with an executive order, signaling both his intent to bypass Congress and cripple America's energy industry. Energy security is national security, and I adamantly oppose this action. Despite Biden's promises to put science at the center of every decision he makes, canceling the Keystone XL, which has been proven in numerous studies to be environmentally safe, is unscientific. In fact, pipelines are the safest and most secure means to transport oil and natural gas from the site of production to the refinery for processing. 3 million miles of pipelines already operate safely across this nation every day. With more than 460,000 pipeline miles in Texas alone. Pipelines keep our economy going, gasoline prices low, and trucks and trains off the roads and tracks, meaning pipelines even make for cleaner air. The Democrats in the Biden-Harris administration are showing us right off the bat that they will prioritize their anti-energy politics above science, jobs, and livelihoods, and above all, common sense. The Keystone XL should not be controversial. It would safely transport about 800,000 barrels of oil per day from Canada through the United States to the Texas coast, where it can be refined and used domestically or sold to international markets. If completed, the Keystone XL is expected to produce over 14,000 good, well-paying jobs at a time when we desperately need them. Most of those jobs would be in the United States, with the majority staying in Texas. Affordable and reliable energy is the key to the modern economy. It powers our homes, our smartphones, our churches, our schools, and our ability to bring food and other necessary goods to markets here and overseas. Over the past decade, Texas energy led the way as America achieved energy dominance. This was no accident. Projects such as the Keystone XL make it possible. The Keystone XL is a partnership with Canada that has been years in the making. Canceling it for no sound reason signals that the United States is an unreliable partner to one of our oldest and closest allies. Killing this project would also weaken our national security and increase our dependence on Middle Eastern oil, leaving our ability to heat our homes or fuel our commutes up to the whims and manipulations of authoritarian regimes abroad. The simple fact is, if this pipeline is not built, Canada's oil will not stay in the ground. It will be sold to China and others with far less stringent environmental safeguards and standards. Canceling the Keystone XL will actually end up hurting the environment. Texans in the 11th District sent me to Washington to fight for their livelihoods and our economy, which are both supported by the oil and gas industry. I filed H.R. 218, the Saving America's Energy Future Act, to do just that. This bill prohibits the Biden administration from pushing politics into energy policy by preventing them from blocking new oil and gas leases and drill permits on federal lands. In the second week of the new year, the U.S. lost nearly 1 million jobs as the COVID pandemic continues to ravage the economy and devastate Texas energy. Affordable and reliable energy produced by America and our allies is critical to getting our economy back on its feet. Now is the time to ensure that safe, smart projects such as the Keystone XL get completed. We need energy and jobs, not pandering and politics. August Pfluger. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, January 21st, 2021. Obituaries. Tracy D. Jane Kerrigan. San Angelo. Tracy D. Jane Kerrigan left this earth on January 18, 2021, after a brief illness. She was born on April 20, 1977, in Odessa, Texas, to Kathy Tindall and Michael Kerrigan. She is survived by her dad, Michael Kerrigan, three children, Jordan Kerrigan, Christian Kerrigan, and Lainey Carol Kerrigan, one grandson, Apollo Darius D. Kerrigan, her sister, Kristen Folsom, and her family, her fur baby, Enzo Kerrigan, aunts, uncles, and several cousins. She is preceded in death by her mother, Kathy Tindall, and her grandparents, Harold and Neva Kerrigan. She moved to San Angelo, Texas in 2018 to live next to her father, but then also gained several close friends at her job at Creek Beverage Barn. She carried a light with her that will never be extinguished, and she will be missed more than she could have ever known. There are no services scheduled at this time. Billy Dean Neese, spelled N-E-A-C-E. Monahans, Texas. Billy Dean Neese, 95. Beloved husband, daddy, dad, great-granddad, and Bill Dad, departed from this life after a brief battle with COVID-19 on January 15th, 2021. We know that he was welcomed into heaven by his Lord and Savior, his late wife, Timmy Neese, and his grandson, Stephen Neese, as well as a host of other family members who preceded him in death. He was born on February 13, 1925, in Piggott, Arkansas, to Dolly and Rudolph Neese. Bill was preceded in death by his parents, Dolly Kilbreth and Rudolph Neese, his cherished wife, Timmy Neese, and his adored grandson, Stephen Neese. Also preceding him in death were his beloved brothers, Ray Neese and Rudy Neese, his nephew, Steve Neese, and his niece, Kathy Ellison. Left behind to treasure Bill's memories are sons, Mike Neese and wife Vicky, and Billy Neese and wife Gaima. Grandsons, Mike Neese II and Cheryl McKenzie, and Matthew Neese and wife Chris Lynn. Granddaughter, Kristen Neese Fuentes, and husband Johnny. 5 grandchildren. He is also survived by nephews, nieces, great-nieces, great-nephews, great-great-nieces, and great-great-nephews. Private family graveside services will be held at the Monahan Cemetery Pavilion on Friday, January 22, 2021. Pastor Beth Harrington will be officiating the service. In lieu of flowers, please donate memorials to the Permian Basin Area Foundation, Stephen Neese Scholarship Fund, or to the charity of your choice. Marilyn K. Price Parker, Odessa. Marilyn Parker, age 68, of Odessa, Texas, went to be with her Lord, surrounded by her family, on Friday, January 15, 2021, in Odessa, Texas. Marilyn was born June 19, 1952, in Littlefield, Texas, to Calvin and Ruth Price, who preceded her in death. Those left to cherish her memory include her husband, Ronnie Parker, daughters April Seeley Ward, Crystal William Weaver, and Vasya Dewey Fothry. Her son, Clifton Lindsay Parker, and her brother, Thaxter Alice Price. She leaves 11 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren to mourn the loss of their Nana. A viewing will be held on Thursday, January 21st, 2021, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. A funeral will be held on Friday, January 22nd, 2021, at 2 p.m. at Crossroads Fellowship in the chapel, 6901 East Highway 191 in Odessa, with Reverend David Newton officiating. Interment will follow at American Heritage Cemetery at 4100 North Farm Road 1788 in Midland. The family suggests, in lieu of flowers, contributions are made to Marilyn's memory, to Retro Church at Crossroads, or to a charity of your choice. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Claudia Jane Robertson, Burnett. Claudia Jane Robertson, 68, died on January 15, 2021, at Oaks Nursing Center in Burnett, Texas. She was born in Odessa, Texas, on August 10, 1952, to Darlene McQuiston Robertson and William K. Robertson. Claudia is preceded in death by her parents, Darlene and William Robertson, and all her aunts and uncles. She is survived by her sister, Judy Heslop of Roscoe, Illinois, her brother, Bill Robertson, and wife, Liz, of Odessa, her niece, Angie Ranson, and husband, John, of Pagosa Springs, Colorado, her niece, Catherine Nelson, and husband, Sean, of Burnett, Texas, and her nephew, Chris Robertson, and wife, Summer, of Round Rock, Texas. She is also survived by four great-nieces, four great-nephews, two great-great-nephews, and several special cousins. Claudia was a member of First Baptist Church Odessa, but had been unable to attend for many years due to her health. She stayed strong in her faith and loved listening to all the old hymns. The family would like to thank the nurses and staff at the Oaks for Claudia's wonderful care, especially during these last 10 months when we were unable to see and visit her. Graveside services are scheduled for at 3 p.m. Thursday, January 21st, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Byron McWilliams, pastor of First Baptist Church, officiating. The family requests the attending guests to please wear a mask. In lieu of flowers, donations in her memory may be made to the First Baptist Church of Odessa Music Ministry, 709 North Lee Avenue, Odessa, Texas, 79761, or the Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University, Odessa, Texas, 79762. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Johnny Jean Smith, Palacios. Johnny G. Smith passed away Tuesday, January 12, 2021. He was born to the late Fred and Mary Gansky Smith in Odessa, Texas, on March 22, 1953. Johnny is survived by one nephew, three nieces, and many cousins. In addition to his parents, Johnny is preceded in death by his wife, Sharon Smith, his brother, Truman Smith, and sister, Wanda Smith Hancock. A viewing for family and friends will begin at 1 p.m., with chapel services to follow at 2 p.m. on Friday, January 22, 2021, at Grace Memorial Chapel, 8819 U.S. Highway 87 North, Victoria, Texas, with Reverend John Hancock officiating. Graveside services will be held at Ector County Cemetery, 300 South Dixie, Odessa, Texas, on Tuesday, January 26, 2021, beginning at 1 p.m. To leave a comforting message, share a fond memory, or to view Johnny's tribute video on YouTube, which will be available for viewing Sunday, January 24, 2021, please visit www.gracefuneralhome.net. Death notices. Michael Dwayne Chandler, Odessa. Michael Dwayne Chandler, 54, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 17, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, January 23, 2021, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Alma Vivian Connor, Oklahoma City. Alma Vivian Connor, 102, of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, died Monday, January 18, 2021, in Oklahoma City. Graveside service is scheduled at a private time, January 26, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Alana Bell Henson, Boyd. Alana Bell Henson, 17, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 3, 2021, in Boyd. Celebration of life is scheduled for 6 p.m. Saturday, January 23, 2021, at Barn 77 at 2700 South County Road 1218 in Midland, Texas. Reverend Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Mary Ann Jones, Odessa. Mary Ann Jones, 59, of Odessa, died Friday, January 15, 2021, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m., January 21, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Donovan Kelly is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Anatalia Reyes Tala Soto, Midland. Anatalia Reyes Tala Soto, 83, of Pecos, Texas, died Saturday, January 16, 2021, in Midland, Texas. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Thursday, January 21, 2021, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Interment will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 22, 2021, at Mount Evergreen Cemetery in Pecos, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Randall Stevens, Andrews, Texas. Randall Stevens, 92, of Andrews, Texas, died Sunday, January 17, 2021, in Andrews, Texas. Celebration of life is scheduled at 2 p.m., January 22, 2021, at Andrews Old Cemetery. Charlie Garcia is officiating. Arrangements are by McNett Funeral Home of Andrews.
Health and Wellness. The Breast Center provides genetic testing. By Jennifer Dumeyer, The Breast Center. Some may wonder why the services provided by the Breast Center include genetic testing and what this has to do with breast health and breast screening. At the Breast Center at Midland Health, we are striving to provide the most comprehensive, personalized care available in our field. Each lady served at the Breast Center is assessed for the appropriate screenings. One size does not fit all. Every woman over 40 years of age does need a yearly mammogram. However, some ladies also need a screening breast ultrasound if they have dense breasts. If something of concern is found, then a biopsy to gather further information is suggested. Another layer of this personalized care at the Breast Center includes assessing each patient's lifetime risk for breast cancer. If a patient is deemed to have a lifetime risk of greater than 15, a screening breast MRI in addition to the screening mammogram is considered. Also, if a person has a previous diagnosis of breast cancer, they qualify for this protocol as well. We have diagnosed patients with breast cancer from the screening MRI before anything could be seen on a mammogram or ultrasound. As we all know, early detection is the key to survival in a cancer diagnosis. But why genetic testing? What information can be gained by doing genetic testing? Genetic testing is the next level in personalized care that we are offering at the Breast Center. There are three types of breast cancer: genetic, familial, and sporadic. With sporadic breast cancer, 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer sometime in their lifetime. With familial breast cancer, a strong family history of breast cancer puts you at a greater risk, but no genetic mutation is found. With genetic-driven breast cancer, there is an actual mutation in the genetic makeup. Why do these genetic mutations put a patient at a higher risk for breast cancer or other cancers? Most of us will have cancer cells try to attack our bodies, but we all have what are known as tumor suppressor genes. These tumor suppressor genes have proteins that help control cell growth. The dangerous thing with cancer cells is that they are rapidly growing and dividing cells, and they grow out of control. If you have a mutation in these genes, you may lose their ability to suppress or stop that growth, thus making you more susceptible to certain kinds of cancer. Why would you want to know this information? Again, early detection is key to cancer survival. Knowledge is power. Knowing someone has a genetic mutation and a susceptibility to a certain cancer, it makes sense to do more frequent screenings on that person. Also, some patients choose to have preventative surgeries, such as a mastectomy or hysterectomy, to remove the area to which the cancer is a threat. Not everyone qualifies for genetic testing, so it is not appropriate for everyone. The factors that qualify a person for genetic testing include a personal history of breast cancer at any age, ovarian cancer at any age, metastatic prostate cancer at any age, pancreatic cancer at any age, colon or endometrial cancer under age 65, a family history of breast cancer under age 50, two breast cancers in one relative at any age, three or more breast cancers in relatives on the same side of the family at any age, ovarian, metastatic prostate, pancreatic cancer, or male breast cancer at any age, a family member with a known genetic mutation. Since the launch of our genetic testing program in August, we have discovered 13 genetic mutations. That is 13 patients who now are more empowered to make healthcare decisions that allow them to have an upper hand against the enemy of cancer. This is the reason we offer genetic testing at the Breast Center. Jennifer Dumeyer is a genetic nurse navigator at the Breast Center. Her postgraduate certification in genetics and genomics is from Stanford University.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. This is the oil page. This article is entitled, Oil Surges with Equities on Hopes Stimulus Will Boost Economy, by Andres Guerra-Luz, Bloomberg. Oil surged the most in over a week in London as broader markets rallied on expectations of additional U.S. stimulus boosting the economy. Futures in London rose 2.1% on Tuesday. U.S. stocks gained as Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen called on lawmakers to act big on stimulus, which could provide a boost to consumption while vaccines continue to be rolled out. A weaker U.S. dollar is also increasing the appeal for commodities that are priced in the currency. West Texas Intermediate for February delivery climbed 62 cents from Friday to settle at $52.98 a barrel. Brent for March settlement rose $1.15 to end the session at $55.90 a barrel. Yellen has implied there's going to be stimulus for size, and that implies we're going to have a demand creation, said Bob Yauger, head of the futures division at Mizuho Securities. The expectation of a weaker dollar over the next few weeks will start to supersize the reflation trade, and crude oil is front and center as far as that's concerned. Meanwhile, the oil futures curve is signaling growing expectations of supply tightness. Brent's nearest contract is trading at a premium to the following month after settling at a discount on Friday. The flip to bullish pattern, known as backwardation, strengthened sharply shortly before a key North Sea pricing window showed renewed buying interest from UNIPEC, the trading arm of China's largest oil refiner. West Texas Intermediate crude's so-called prompt spread is also on the verge of flipping to backwardation for the first time since May, settling at parity on Tuesday. But the near-term trajectory of oil's demand recovery has lost some momentum as governments tighten restrictions to curb the spread of COVID-19. In China, there are government calls for citizens not to travel over the Lunar New Year holidays, while vast swaths of Japan are in a state of emergency and several European nations are still locked down. OPEC Secretary General Mohamed Barkindo said that while the producer group is cautiously optimistic about a recovery this year, the rebound is fragile. Meanwhile, the International Energy Agency cut its demand outlook for the rest of the year as the virus continues to impede mobility. Demand is a work in progress, said Stuart Glickman, energy equity analyst at CRFA Research. It's starting to come back, but we're not seeing a huge surge in demand that would give a little more confidence about how the economy is doing. Still, despite the reduction in IEA's demand estimates, global oil stockpiles stand to fall by 100 million barrels in the first quarter, and the agency sees much steeper declines in the second half of the year. That comes as traders have been rushing back to the market on expectations of a recovery in global growth later in 2021. A swift recovery in global mobility could create a substantial oil deficit in 2021 as herd immunity takes hold across major economies, Bank of America Global Research said in a report. Still, with a clear risk of new lockdowns ahead due to the new virus strains and refinery crude demand set to ebb off seasonally, we see limited upside to crude oil prices in the very near term. There have been small pockets of supply outages in recent days. Kazakh oil production fell by about 300,000 barrels a day on Monday due to planned maintenance, while Libyan output slipped over the weekend on pipeline repairs. This article is entitled IEA Cuts Oil Demand Forecast as New Lockdowns Temper Recovery by Grant Smith, Bloomberg. The International Energy Agency lowered forecasts for global oil demand as renewed lockdowns to contain the pandemic temper the recovery expected this year. The global vaccine rollout is putting fundamentals on a stronger trajectory for the year, with both supply and demand shifting back into growth, the agency said in a monthly report. But it will take more time for oil demand to recover fully as renewed lockdowns in a number of countries weigh on fuel sales. The IEA cut its consumption estimate for this quarter by 600,000 barrels a day, projecting a slight decline from the end of last year. Still, the world's swollen oil inventories stand to abate by 100 million barrels in the three-month period, as Saudi Arabia and other OPEC Plus nations curb supplies. Oil prices have rallied this year as the kingdom announced additional production cuts to be made over the next 2 months. Brent futures traded above $55 a barrel in London on Tuesday, close to their highest in almost a year. The gains have slowed, though, as a flare-up in virus cases prompts the return of lockdowns in many countries, including China, which has driven the recovery in fuel demand up until now. For 2021 as a whole, the Paris-based IEA trimmed its demand forecast by 300,000 barrels a day. Global fuel consumption will increase by 5.5 million barrels a day this year, following an unprecedented collapse of 8.8 million a day in 2020. The fragile outlook prompted the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its partners at a meeting earlier this month to delay plans to restore halted output. Saudi Arabia, which effectively leads the group, bolstered the strategy by promising to cut an additional 1 million barrels a day in February and March. Substantial improvement. As the year progresses and the demand recovery gathers pace, the OPEC Plus alliance should have the opportunity to open the taps a little, according to the IEA. Much more oil is likely to be required, given our forecast for a substantial improvement in demand in the second half of the year, it said. With global inventories on track for steeper declines in the second half, OPEC Plus can proceed with plans to revive about 1.5 million of the 7.2 million currently offline, the agency said. U.S. shale explorers, who normally jump on price gains to ramp up drilling, have signaled a more cautious approach this time, giving Riyadh and its allies an opportunity to fill the gap. If they stick to those plans, OPEC Plus may start to reclaim the market share it has steadily lost to the U.S. and others since 2016, the agency said. This article is entitled Investors Flock Back into Oil for Reflation Trade Hedging by Alex Longley, Bloomberg. Investors and oil companies are rushing back into the crude market. Total holdings of Brent and WTI futures have climbed to the highest level since May. It comes as banks from Goldman Sachs Group Inc. to JP Morgan Chase & Company see the market's prospects brightening, and some big hedge funds talk of commodities entering a pricing supercycle. The surge in open interest marks a turnaround from the aftermath of oil's crash below zero, a route that spurred a collapse in global crude production at the same time as plunge in consumption. Trading slumped last year as U.S. crude production dived and consumers such as airlines pulled back from the hedging space. The nadir was November. Since then, things have picked up with a sharp rebound this year. People are considering the investment case for for the commodities asset class, said Harry Chilogurian, oil strategist at BNP Paribas. Open interest in oil is rising again as macro-oriented funds look at case for commodities. J.P. Morgan is among banks, saying it favors commodities as a hedge against inflationary pressures, while Bank of America Corporation thinks reflationary pressures are already helping to push oil prices higher. Recovery. The rally has also spurred an uptick in producer hedging, with WTI for 2022 nearing $50 a barrel. Brent, for the same period, is already above that marker. U.S. prices for the rest of 2021 are already above $50. A big chunk of shale oil production is profitable at current levels, according to International Energy Agency Executive Director Fatih Birol. Alongside the recovery in activity, there's also been a rebound in the number of bullish market participants. There were 163 money managers with long positions in Brent and WTI last week, the most since February. That's up from a low of 94 in March. The shift is good news for CME Group, Inc. and the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., which owns the world's biggest oil exchanges. Our WTI markets continue to reflect broad participation across the world as customers manage their global price risk, said Peter Keevy, Managing Director of Energy Products at CME Group. WTI remains the market's choice for managing crude oil exposure. Crude has had more reasons to be buoyed so far this year. A huge index rebalancing was expected to see about $9 billion flow into the market last week as prices rallied to 10-month highs. In addition, weakness in the dollar is spurring renewed talk of a commodities supercycle. Both J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs recommended boosting exposure to the sector in recent days. There's plenty of producer hedging, of course, and some of that will in some form go on exchanges, said Paul Horsnell, head of commodities research at Standard Chartered PLC. In addition, short positions of swap dealers, a sign of banks managing the hedges they sold producers, rose to their highest level since April last week. And with forecasts of a global economic recovery this year, there are potentially more inflows to come for oil. The value of Brent and WTI open interest is still down about a third from a peak of $408 billion in 2018. But the World Bank expects a 4% growth in global economy this year and a 7.9% climb in China, the world's largest oil importer.
Fecal immune test, colon cancer detector. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 74-year-old male, and I recently received a negative result from my mammalian fecal test. I have been on an every 5 years colonoscopy cycle for the past 20 years. Non-cancerous polyps were always found. And since my colorectal surgeon recently retired, I decided to use the FIT. Since then, I have been told that the FIT is not reliable for those on my cycle. With my insurance plan, which has a high out-of-pocket, I would be paying the full colonoscopy cost if polyps are found, no cost if no polyps, since it is considered a different procedure. My question is, can I rely on the FIT results? RD. Answer. A FIT test is a fecal immunochemical test for blood. It is superior to the standard Guaiac tests, stool cards, that have been done for many years because it can find more cases of colon cancer and has no more false positive tests. Because it is quite sensitive, a negative test means it is unlikely you have colon cancer. One study estimated that in an average risk population, a person with a negative FIT test is 94% likely not to have had any kind of advanced precancerous polyp and 99.9% likely not to have colon cancer. In the U.S., FIT tests are usually used every year, while in other countries, every 2 to 3 years is common. I cannot comment on what your insurance plan will pay for, but Repeatedly negative FIT tests are good evidence that you do not have colon cancer. The colonoscopy remains the most commonly recommended choice for colon cancer screening, but FIT tests, or combination FIT and genetic tests, are a reasonable choice for people who do not want colonoscopy or who are not good candidates. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, January 21st. Dear Abby, my colleagues and I were recently notified that our company is closing next month. My work partner and I have collaborated closely for 4 years, and he's an expert of the software I need to know to get a job in my field. When I asked if he would give me a couple of lessons via Zoom, I was thinking it would be about a 3-hour commitment to him. But he was enthusiastic and designed a 20-plus-hour curriculum for me. He keeps saying he doesn't want me to pay him, but I want to find an appropriate way to express my gratitude. What would be an appropriate amount to compensate him without getting too steep, which is why I didn't do the full-price software training in the first place, which was $2,000. Thanks for any advice. Signed, Thankful in Illinois. Dear Thankful, if you know of any interests, hobbies, a sport, etc. that your partner has outside the workplace, consider going online to see if you can find something connected to that activity that he would enjoy that's within your budget. Dear Abby, every year on Facebook's National Daughters Day, my daughter's mother-in-law professes her love, respect, and admiration for her own daughter, but never acknowledges her daughter-in-law, my daughter. Yet on National Sons Day, she posts glowing tributes not only to her sons, but also to her son-in-law. We all live within miles of each other, and this recurring slight makes it difficult to act like everything is fine, when in truth, this is hurtful to my daughter and to our family. Should I address this issue with the mother-in-law, or continue to bite my tongue? Signed, Dismissed in Texas. Dear Dismissed, if you are smart, rather than address the issue with your daughter's mother-in-law, who either has the emotional intelligence of an oyster or really doesn't care for your daughter, mention it to your son-in-law and point out to him that being slighted is hurtful. There may be a better result if he brings it up to his mother. Dear Abby, I battle with a double chin, and I loathe it. My chin hides itself only if I am under 126 pounds. Anything over that, and it's there. I'm not overweight, but my double chin makes me feel that way. I have read that dermal fillers in the chin can discreetly get rid of this issue. The problem? My husband. He's against any type of plastic surgery. He doesn't like my double chin either, but he wants me to only get rid of it naturally. Normally, I would agree. I have been exercising, running 4 times a week, without success. I don't feel comfortable looking this way. I think I deserve the shortcut. Should I get the filler without my husband's blessing, or should I continue the struggle? Signed, Taking It on the Chin. Dear Taking It, you are an adult and it's your body. You do not need permission to do something that will help you feel better about yourself. If your husband is against any type of plastic surgery, and by the way, fillers do not qualify as plastic surgery, he should forgo having it when his frown lines begin to look like tractor furrows and he develops a waddle.
Royal Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aquarius and a moon in Taurus. Happy birthday for Thursday, January 21, 2021. Exciting, colorful, and passionate. You're headed straight for the top. You're both driven and pleasure-loving, and this year your star quality allows a project to grow and be very profitable. If single, you're a heartbreaker and lovers never forget you. You don't commit this year. If attached, you work hard if you wish to remain so. Your private life's separate from your public life. Aquarius inspires you to go far. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Today underscores how emotional impulses and early family conditioning have affected your financial choices and offers insights into making changes for the better regarding this. You will feel unexpectedly grateful. Tonight, a cherished bond grows and matures through honest discussion. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Today ushers in a renewed zest for life. Leadership skills are present, and you'll enjoy physical activity. This inspiring pattern continues throughout the day. A touch of humor and tolerance helps you make the best of complex situations. Tonight, up late, burning the midnight oil. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Today finds you more reserved, cherishing private time. A dream conveys important messages. Others have opposing tastes and priorities. Compromise and tolerance will smooth over differences. Take more time out for yourself. Tonight, early beddy buys and a deep slumber for once. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Healing and growth are due. A larger-than-life quality prevails, but stay grounded and keep your perspective. Seek efficiency. Kind, talented associates open appealing avenues of activity for you. Become more active in community work or groups. Tonight, online networking. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Work hard and be patient today. Prepare a poster with pictures and affirmations portraying your aspirations. Use it to visualize where you want to go with your life. Protect your professional credibility by doing the very best you can. Tonight, then just release the situation. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Today encourages thoughts of travel and exchanging information. Listen carefully. Worthwhile information comes your way during casual conversations. Foreign languages and imported items intrigue you. Tonight, reach out to a foreign-born friend or colleague residing in a land far away. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. The afterlife and reincarnation captivate you today. Heed a message brought by spectral visitor or the fae folk. Strategy helps resolve any monetary glitches. The sunset offers glimpses into other dimensions. Tonight, thinking what a strange day it has been. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 3 stars. Companions will present ambitious plans and ideas. Trust your instincts and all will be well. An established partnership is entering a new phase. A loved one is experiencing a temporary setback or facing a legal issue. Tonight, your support and loyalty would be appreciated. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. Today favors learning more about wellness. Rethink your dietary and exercise habits. Others set a positive example and offer worthwhile suggestions. It's an ideal time to make needed changes and to examine how hereditary influences might impact health. Tonight, relax. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 4 stars. Creative projects can be revamped. An old friendship is rekindled, but for good or ill, the same patterns repeat in a relationship. Others will be attracted to you. Cultivate new friendships and follow through with artistic ventures. Tonight, favors tender interludes. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 5 stars. Today brings a surprise regarding your heritage. Happiness is shared with one you love very much. Make a special effort to communicate with family members. A house blessing would be very beneficial. Tonight, use sandalwood incense to invoke a calming, helpful ambiance. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today helps you focus and refine details. Others express enthusiasm for your suggestions. Have a brainstorming session over cups of hot mulled cider on the longest of nights. It's a wonderful time to write that book you've been talking about. Tonight, ideas and more ideas. Born Today, designer Christian Dior, 1905, tenor Placido Domingo, 1941, actress Gina Davis, 1956.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.